Good morning. Welcome to Bridge City Church. I'm Pastor Eric. So glad you all joined us today. We can give God a hand. Isn't it awesome to worship the Lord?
Amen.
It never gets old. I just want to keep on going. I was glad I had some voice left. Hopefully I'll last. Last week we actually heard a great message on Mother's Day delivered by our lead pastor's wife, Natalie, and that was such an awesome time to hear her, from her. And today we're going to be picking up our series called The Divine Privilege. We're in our third week of this series, and I want to start with just giving you a little understanding of what does it mean to have divine privilege. Well, a definition, something very practical, is divine privilege is being a part of God's plan to demonstrate his power, peace, and presence Monday through Saturday. I guess we get Sunday off. But no, that's just the slide saying that. It's more than just Sunday morning, but really to be divinely privileged, to have all that God has for us is really to be demonstrating and being a part of God's plan every single day. Not just one day a week, not just for a little bit of time every week, but every single day we can demonstrate his power, his peace, and his presence everywhere we go, because we have the Holy Spirit within each of us. As followers of Jesus, as believers in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And our launching verse each week has been out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. That said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, remember, past tense, he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. How many spiritual blessings?
Every
spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And spiritual blessings, they're referring to the divine privileges and the resources available now. Again, it's not just looking and hopeful someday we'll get to be a part of these blessings, but we have them here and now. Things like grace and peace, things like being adopted as children of God, the inheritance that we don't have to wait till heaven to get, we can have it here now, the redemption, being holy and blameless, being a part of Jesus' church. We're looking at all these, we've looked at these things 2 weeks before Mother's Day. We're picking up right where we left off, continuing to see how these spiritual blessings apply and are deposited into our lives, and how we can see them working through the Holy Spirit. So as we transition, there's a transitioning point here in Ephesians chapter 1. We've covered the first 12 verses so far. There's a transition. Now, he lays out what these spiritual blessings are. In verses 13 and 14, there's a shift that happens. Paul's talking about this being sealed by the Holy Spirit, having a guarantee. And then we're going to get to verses 15 through 23, which is really Paul's prayer, praying for the church in Ephesus. So as we do, we look at verses 13 and 14. And it says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So much packed into these two little verses here, and we're going to try to unpack a little bit of that before we get into verse 15, but what does this word sealed mean? A sealed is an impression made by a signet ring or another object. So typically in ancient world, in some places still in the world today, you'd melt some wax and put it on an envelope or a document, something you wanted to seal. And they'd take a ring that had a specific carved image or something on it, and they would stamp it into the seal, or they'd use another object to mark it. That seal signified a lot of different things. And looking at some of those, what those seals signify is one of them is a finished transaction. Similar to a signature today on a contract, you sign maybe in blue ink so they know it's real, it's not a copy, right? You sign a signature, it's a finished transaction. That seal, that when we're sealed in the Holy Spirit, it's saying that the work is, the contract is sealed. The transaction is done. What Jesus did on the cross, he sealed the deal. He not only did he pay for our sins, but then he sent the Holy Spirit to make sure that we knew we were stamped, sealed, and marked. That is a guaranteed promise of what's to come. The second thing it signifies is ownership. Now, ownership, a lot of people don't like this idea of being owned by something, but to be owned by God is the best thing you could be owned by, right? You know about cattle, how they brand cattle or they brand certain animals. That identifies who they belong to. There's no dispute when you have a cow and you're not sure whose it belongs to. You can look at the mark. You can look at the seal and determine who does this cow belong to. Now, I know we don't want to be considered cows here, but the idea is the same as the mark that's on our lives, the brand that's on us, that seal the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, how we live our lives should be an identifying mark that we have the Holy Spirit, that we belong to God. There's an ownership there. The third thing is security. The seal, whoever sealed that, usually they were higher ranking people, not always, but oftentimes you would face the consequences or retaliation if you broke that seal. Remember when Jesus' tomb was sealed? Whoever would break that seal had to face the retaliation of the Roman government. So nobody else would have done it but God. But God broke their own seal on his own tomb to prove that he was above even the highest powers of the time in the Roman government. But there's security there, knowing that we are safe. We're secure because of his Holy Spirit sealing us. The last thing there is we are identified as God's possession and given his authority. Nobody who would break the seal of God without facing the wrath of God. That should build confidence in us, understanding that we are identified as belonging to him. And we have his authority. When you had a document that had a seal from somebody, maybe a king or a lord or a high-ranking official, nobody would mess with that because it had such a weight and authority with it. The problem I think we have is a lot of people don't see the seal of the Holy Spirit on our lives. If they saw it, they'd be afraid of the authority that comes with being owned and child of God. The Holy Spirit identifies us with and makes us more like God. That's one of the roles. The Holy Spirit does a lot of different things, but Holy Spirit is to identify us and mark us and help us become more like God himself. The second thing there, the guarantee, the deposit. This, by definition, it's earnest money, a down payment that guarantees the rest will be given. Any of you remember layaway? Maybe you still have layaway, right? I was one of six kids, and I just know every time gifts were coming up, it was like my mom had to go 6 months in advance before Christmas to start picking things out. You make a payment. For those of you who don't know, you know, typically in Hills or Ames or Kmart, that's where we went, right? You'd go all the way to the back of the store, right? There's this little area, this room in the back of the store, because it was like, I always felt like maybe you didn't want people to see you going back to the layaway room, but you'd go back there and you make a payment that would hold whatever it is that you wanted to buy. It would keep the, whatever that item is, that gift, that toy, it would hold it so nobody else could get it, right? You put it on layaway and you make payments until Christmas or birthday or whatever it was. Then you go make the final payment to actually take it home with you. You know, layaway was such a beautiful thing. I just remember growing up, it was like every day we had to go, or every time we went to the store, it was like, go to the layaway room. Hopefully we get to come home with something. But the same idea, this guarantee, it's a lot better than layaway, just to be clear. But God gives us the Holy Spirit as a deposit. He says the Spirit of God is the guarantee, the deposit of all the things to come. You know, that all that is in heaven, our full inheritance, we're going to get a down payment. We get a down payment here and now. It's an installment. It's a sample. It's a preview of what's to come. I mean, think about this. Heaven, there's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no death. There's no calories. There's no saturated fat. Oh, that got you excited. Right? But in heaven, there's all this perfect stuff. And I see it as now, God is still doing healing work. He's still performing healings. He's still performing and eradicating cancer and sickness and disease. He even rose himself back from the death just to show us. This is a glimpse, a preview. It's like a movie trailer, right? You watch a movie trailer to see if you want to get to the rest. So this is the best movie trailer. He gives us the Holy Spirit now in little parts and little pieces. And I'm not saying that he's limited, but he's saying he gives us these parts, this joy, this peace, this authority, this healing that comes just as a small payment of looking ahead of perfect and being in the perfect, unashamed, unadulterated presence of God. That's what heaven really is. It's in the presence of God without any sin, without any of the stuff in the natural, without any of our junk. It's just the perfect presence of God. Now we can have that here and now in payments, in installments, and in sections. We can still have and experience him, but we look ahead to the guarantee and of the deposit that he's given us in the Holy Spirit. The seal and deposit is perhaps the most amazing divine privilege known to man. It's probably, of all the divine privileges, I believe the presence of God, His physical presence here is probably one of the biggest things that we miss most often. Because we can pray for all this other stuff. We pray for all the symptoms, right? Oh, God, will you help me lose weight? Will you help me do this? Will you help me? He's like, go to the gym. Eat different. Dude, make some other decisions. But instead praying, God, I need your grace upon my life. I need your spirit to be on my life. Not just praying for symptoms, but praying for the cure. Praying that he is the cure for all of our problems. We might not see everything change right immediately, but he is the person who has all the answers. He is the person who has all the solutions and everything we need. So we must remember it's the presence of the Holy Spirit who provides our perfect peace and power, and we're often missing it. So how is it that we miss out on the presence and power of God? I believe it's one way, one simple reason is we just don't ask for it. We just don't ask God to give us more of his presence, more of him. Luke 11, verse 13, Jesus' words, it's also recorded in Matthew 7, and Jesus is talking about how as you, as parents, if your child asks for a fish, do you give them a rock? If they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? He says, no, like you know how to give good gifts to your children. So if you then, who are evil or sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When was the last time you said, God, I want more of your Holy Spirit? Come on. For many of us, maybe it's been too long. And that's why we're not seeing and experiencing the power and presence of God. It's we're not asking him.
That's right.
Right? Asking the Father, God of unlimited resources, to give us his Holy Spirit. It starts there, asking him, inviting him in. Then when we ask him, the second thing we have to do is to yield. Yield to him. Yield doesn't mean stop. Right? I got to tell this to everybody driving on the road. But you know, when you're getting on the parkway, you're not supposed to stop. Maybe this was a word from heaven for somebody. You know, you're not supposed to stop. Now, sometimes you have to stop, I will admit. But you're not supposed, yield means check, slow down, and you merge in with everybody. When you're getting on an on-ramp, you merge in with the direction that the traffic is going. You don't yield by saying, hey, everybody go that way. No, you get into what's already going in this direction. Yielding to God is the same way. We don't say, God, would you come follow me? God, would you change your direction? You say, no, God, where are you going? You're going this direction. I want to yield into the flow and the direction you are going. Asking God, say, God, give me more of your Holy Spirit. And then yielding to the direction that he's given you in your life. You know how to find out what direction he's going? A lot of it's found right here. And the rest of it's found right here in the local church. Getting and being a part of the local church, knowing this is what God's chosen vessel, the one thing he said he'd build, the church, getting involved with the mission and vision of the local church, because that's what Jesus is coming back for. And in fact, at the end of the message today, we have some teams of people ready to pray for you, and there's going to be a time of you to come forward and say, I want to ask for more of the Holy Spirit in my life, and there's people that are going to pray with you, and you can ask God, help me yield to you. Maybe that's your prayer. And there's other things that we're going to talk about of how you can come forward to receive prayer today. Because we can talk about it all we want, but I want to put it to action today. So as we transition from verse 14 to verse 15, this is Paul's prayer. It's in the headline, most of your Bibles, it says Paul's prayer for spiritual wisdom, for growth. And I'm just going to read through 15 to 23. So just follow along, read with me. This is a prayer he's praying for towards the people in Ephesus. Verse 15 says, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and dominion and power and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Verse 23, when he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. Great prayer, right? And it's something we can all apply to our lives. And I'm going to draw out some points of here for us to focus on. But really, the reason many people are disconnected between the reality of the benefits, the spiritual blessings, and really experiencing them is that they've grown dim in their understanding. Dim, like, you know, I look at like a fire. We just had a fire this past week. Thank God, weather's getting better. Amen, anyone? Amen. You know, we had a little campfire outside in our backyard, and, you know, the fire was real big and a lot of flame, a lot of light, and it was real awesome to watch and be a part of. But then after a while, what happens is the flame dwindles, right? It's not producing as much light, not producing as much heat, and you got to do what? You got to stir it back up. You got to fold the ends of it in or add some wood to it, add some stuff to it to get the fire to light up again. The point is a lot of us, our fire is growing dim. Just the idea of life in general causes us to grow dim, right? It's like all the stuff that's being thrown at us, all the things that are happening, it can cause us to grow dim. But Paul prays for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in our knowledge of him and of Jesus, and for the eyes of our heart to be enlightened to know. He literally just told them, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and I'm praying for you to receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation upon your life. It's not just an emotional prayer. It's not just a prayer of an emotional response. See, things in church, like things in the spiritual realm, we can have an emotional response. It's okay to have an emotional response, but he's also praying that we'd understand things intellectually as well. I believe you can have emotional response, intellectual response, and experiential all in one. Those are the best ones. Not just having a one-time emotional response to God, but saying, I want to understand what God is doing. I want to read his word. The more I understand the word, the more I read the Bible, the more I'm in awe of who God is. I don't necessarily need an emotional experience to happen, but the more I understand him intellectually, the more I realize I don't know enough about him, but it opens my heart to say, God, I want more of you. I want more of who you are and to understand who you are in a greater measure. There's three things that Paul prays they would see, understand, and experience. One is the hope of our calling. We are his glorious inheritance, and there's great power towards us. Paul's praying for a literal and logical apprehension of our mind to know God, not just information, but that word know that he uses in Ephesians 1 is talk about a superior, ever-increasing knowledge and a full knowledge of understanding who God is. Now, I personally don't think in our human minds we can really say we fully understand and comprehend God, but it should be an ever-increasing knowledge and understanding of who God is, to know him experientially. I get to know my wife more and more every year we're married, every time we're together. You know an experience and understanding of who somebody is when you're in relationship with them. The same is with God. And these specific benefits make the Christian life amazing. To understand the hope of our calling, that we are his great inheritance, his glorious inheritance, and understanding that we can have all these blessings, all these divine privileges that he gives us, should change the way we live our lives. It makes the Christian life fun and joyful and amazing. That first one here, the hope of your calling. And this is not just the specific calling that I believe every believer has. I believe every single believer, every one of you has a specific calling on your life. You know, we read about Paul's in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, his specific calling. I believe many of you are called to either be married or not be married, to serve in some fashion in the ministry and where you fit in the body of Christ. Maybe you're called to do foreign missions, domestic missions, whatever it may be. We all have a specific calling, but this is speaking to a more general hope of our calling as believers, that we are saved, that we are sealed, that we are saints, that we're sons, and we're seated in heavenly places. We are called to eternal life and Christ-likeness, and that hope is incredible. The hope that's not just a someday I hope things will get better, someday I hope I get to go to heaven. No, the hope that's so deep, that's so rich, that's so understanding his hope is here and now, that I am saved because of what Christ has done. I'm sealed because of the work of the Holy Spirit in and through my life. That I'm a saint. I'm not a sinner just saved by grace. I'm a saint because he calls us a royal priesthood. I'm a son. I'm a child of God because he's given me a spirit of sonship, that spirit of adoption, not a spirit of fear, but one of to be able to call God Abba Father, and that we're seated in heavenly places. This seated in heavenly places, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he says to us that we get to be seated in heavenly places as a past tense. It's not someday we get to go to heaven. It's here and now we can be seated with Christ in heavenly places. What does that mean? It means all the powers, dominions, and things of the earth are beneath us. Not that we're better than other people, but we're seated in heavenly places with Christ, that we're joint heirs with Christ. That should give us some boldness and power. Again, not pride, but humbleness, saying, God, you allow me to do this? God, you allow me to be called a son of yours, to be called a saint, that you seal me with the promise of the Holy Spirit? That should drive us to live in such a way. And I love how 1 Peter 1 says it. I just wrote this down. It's not on the slide, but though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. When you really reflect on the salvation of our souls, on what God has done for us, it should result in a glorious and expressible joy. A joy that just exudes out as to everywhere we go. People are like, what? Why are you so happy? What's wrong with you? Like, why are you smiling all the time? It's like, I know I'm saved. I know where I'm going. I know I'm a son of the Most High God. Nothing's gonna get me down too much because I got him. I have the Holy Spirit. That should be the way Christians walk around. Now, we have troubles, we have trials, we have hard things that happen, but we can praise God every step of the way. We can choose joy and choose to have a peace that's supernatural, not just natural. The second thing here is his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, we understand that we get an inheritance, right? We get the things of heaven now, but have you ever really thought about us being his inheritance? That he actually says that we are God's inheritance in the saints, that his special treasured possession. Apple of his eye, that term comes from three different verses, references are on the screen, talking about how God protects and guards us as he guards the pupil or the apple of his eye. How much would you protect your eyesight? Right? It's like you only have two eyes. And I think it's something that, you know, if we really looked at it, we would guard our eyes from things. When something comes out, you block your eyes, right? And how precious and how much care he puts towards us as his eyes, as a special treasured possession. And this is perhaps one of the most fascinating privileges, because again, we see in verses 11 and 14 that we receive an inheritance, but here we know that we learn that we are his inheritance, that God is actually looking forward to receiving us. Can we even imagine that? Like that God is literally sitting there going, I can't wait till I get to really be with them in the fullness of eternity. See, God's waiting for us to be joined with him. And I'm not trying to humanize God in any way, but I think his heart and his nature and his character that we read in the word is he longs to be with us. He longs to be close with us. He longs to be in an intimate relationship with us. And he's waiting for us to become with him, to join him as his glorious inheritance. You know, if there was your house was on fire, you would run in potentially for something that you really valued and treasured. Like I've been preparing this, I'm thinking, if my house was on fire and I knew that my family was inside, there's nothing gonna stop me from going in there. There's nothing, I'll move whatever person's in my way if somebody needs to be moved. Like if something, my family's inside my burning house, I'm gonna get into that house, right? I'm gonna go and try to save what's most valuable to me and my family. Maybe you have a special heirloom or a family, something, an item from your family. Like you'd go in to save whatever it is. God sent his son into a burning, dying world to save us, to rescue us. The world's on fire. He had to send his son. He came in the flesh to save us. Why would he do that if he didn't love us and care about us and value us with such care and such heart of value in us? He did it because he loves us. You know, I just a side note, in Genesis chapter 1, I love reading the creation story. And part of it, something that stood out to me, is on day 6, okay, he creates the heavens and the earth, the land, the water, the birds, the animals in the sea, all the stuff, the scurries, the plants. And at the very top of all of creation, day 6, he creates human beings. It says he created them in our image, the God, the three in one, Father, Son, and Spirit, created us in his image. And he puts us to rule and reign over all the earth. And at the end of, after he finishes, he creates mankind. He says, he looks over everything and determines it's very good. And I think there's such an amazing climax to how God is in creation. He stopped when he created the most valuable thing to him, people. People. Maybe you're here today and you don't feel very valued. You don't feel very cared about. You don't feel like anybody loves you or cares about what's going on in your life. Let me tell you this. God knows. God cares. God sees you. His heart breaks for the things that are breaking your heart. He loves you so much that he's coming back for you. He's coming back for his church, and he wants us to all be together as he sees you. Because just as we give extra attention and care to things that we value, God gives special care and attention to his children. Right? If there's two kids, your kids and somebody else's kid, and you can only save one, which one are you saving? Right? Well, I don't know, maybe some of you wouldn't save your own child, but that's pretty. But you know, you'd save your child, you'd do extra things for your children. And that's what God does. He cares for us, he values us, he gave his son's life to purchase us as his treasured possession. The third point is immeasurable power directed towards those who believe. This is delegated empowerment and authorization operating in a designated jurisdiction. The last thing that Paul prays is that our understanding would be enlightened to the incomparably immeasurable great power of God that's directed towards those of us who what? Who believe. What's the prerequisite to getting this power that God's talking about? It's belief. It's belief. It's not just a knowledge about it, but it's a true belief in our hearts that many times we don't experience the power of our faith because our faith is low, or maybe we just doubt. We don't believe that God has great things in store for us. Do you believe that God has great things in store for you? That God has a good plan for you, a good purpose for you? That he wants what's best for you as a good father would for his children? Of course he does. This power that God directs towards us is in accordance with, in the same manner, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that ascended Jesus to heaven, the same power that seated Jesus at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. It's that same power that he's giving to us, he's directing towards us, to those of us who believe. Who believe in the gospel. We hear the word of truth, we hear the gospel, we believe, and he directs this power to us. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that resurrection power, that exaltation power is available to us. I mean, imagine this. What's the greatest physical infirmity that can happen? Death, right? You can't get much further than that. But even Jesus reversed that. Jesus reversed the most irreversible physical infirmity on earth. On earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus brought heaven to earth, he brought the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit here. He sent the Holy Spirit here so that we can have and partake of heavenly things here on earth. You know, I've personally received physical healings in my body. My ankle's been physically healed from an injury. My blood pressure's been supernaturally healed overnight that the doctors say there's no way this is possible. I didn't take medication, didn't change my diet and exercise. Should have. But you know, there's things that happen that God did overnight. And I can't sit here and say, God doesn't do miracles. God doesn't work. I hear about miracles. I hear about healing work that God does here and now. It's an immeasurable power. How do you measure the power of a healing? I just heard yesterday, one of the little boys that we've been praying for as a church, cancer in his stomach was massive in his stomach, completely shrunk down, almost gone. I'm believing it's going to be completely gone in Jesus' name. God still works miracles. God still heals. God still raises dead things back to life. Maybe your relationships have been dying. He can raise them back to life. Maybe it's starting with us saying, God, I need to forgive this person. Help me forgive. Help me receive forgiveness. Help me let go of offense. Whatever it is, asking for God, saying, God, will you heal my body? If you got a physical infirmity, I'm just believing right now. God's saying he wants to heal your physical body right now. I know some of you personally going through some really hard stuff right now. And I'm not saying this frivolous. I believe the Spirit of God is saying, I want to heal you right now in Jesus' name. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask. To truly say, God, help me in my unbelief. God, help me have belief and faith again, once again, to come to you wholeheartedly with no other option to say, but God, heal my physical body in Jesus' name right here and right now. I believe that's God that's saying he wants to continue to heal and work in our lives. If you're here today and you need a healing touch, we have prayer time for you at the end. Come up forward, ask for prayer, seek God, and let him show himself off. He continues to show off every time he does it. He heals somebody. It's like, praise God, he healed me. And if you don't get a healing, praise God anyway. He's still good. He's still good, but let our faith rise up to believe again that his immeasurable power is still available. It's the most amazing power available to mankind. Yet we take it for granted so often. Instead of seeking him and asking him for more each and every day. So as we continue in verse 21, and I want to tie back into that as the end of the prayer, Paul says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Amen. Verse 22, and he put all things under his feet. Speaking about Jesus, he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What's between the head and the feet? The body. Another reason why many of us are not experiencing or feel the powerful privileges of God's power in our lives is because we're not connected to the body. The body, which is, according to the word, the body is the church. The church, the local church, is the body of Christ. If we're not connected to it, we're not under the headship of Jesus, because that's he's the head, we are the body, and everything else is the feet down below, that the eyes of our heart won't be enlightened. Where do we have the eyes of our heart enlightened? Within the church. Where does every spiritual blessing come from? In Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, in Christ, in the church, all spiritual blessings are given. But if we're not connected to the body, we're going to miss out on all the blessings, all the divine privileges, and we're going to miss out on so much more. When we forsake gathering, Hebrews 10 talks about when we neglect to gather together, when we neglect to hold fast to the confession of our hope, we miss out on the encouragement. We miss out on the empowerment. We miss out on so much. Some things that we have available for you to not miss out on, to not miss out on all the blessings that God has for you. We have Growth Track coming up next Sunday. Next Sunday, May 22nd, and right now is a great time to pull out your phone, not to look at notifications, but to write down some things that are coming up, to put in your calendar, to put write down a reminder, May 22nd, next Sunday, from 5 to 8 p.m., 3 hours, and yes, we will feed you, so you can come eat at our North Braddock campus. What is this? We have three different tracks, 201, 301, and 401. Set up for you, the pastors primarily, some other people have been preparing to teach for these 3 hours to help you grow, to help you understand how to even speak better about certain topics, to help you have a deeper understanding of the church. If you want to grow, this is a great opportunity for you to come, completely free to you, but you should RSVP just so we know how many to expect. If you need childcare, it's provided, because this is so important for you to grow, to experience all that God has for you. Next Steps. Next Steps happens every month. You hear about it almost every Sunday. In fact, it's happening today once we dismiss out the back to the left. Next Steps is where you can learn how you can be a bigger, more active and growing part of Bridge City Church. If you've never been to Next Steps, I invite you, encourage you to come, to show up and to hear more about the church, learn and discover your gifting and how you can make a difference in the church. And not only in the church, but taking it out into the world. Worship night, this Wednesday, May 18th, this Wednesday, in just a few days, 7:30 p.m. at our North Braddock campus. What better thing to do than get together with a bunch of believers and worship God, right? To get our mind and our focus off the natural and onto God for a little extra time during the week, right? We're going to worship. We're going to have some prayer time. Make sure to be there. Men's night. Ladies just had an awesome overflow girls night on Friday night. They had ice cream sundaes. How many of you ladies were there? You just show of hands. Lady, look how many ladies showed up. Now, I want for the men coming up in June 5th, I don't want you to be one of the ladies that maybe missed it. I want you to be able to say, I was there. I made it to the men's night on June 5th, because there's so many times we hear people that miss an event. They say, oh, I wish I would have been there. I don't want you to be the Washington make it person. I want you to be one of the people to say, I was there and it was awesome. What happened when the guys got together and had men's night, band of brothers getting together. That's the men's night on June 5th is something for all of us. It's going to be held at each campus. So we're going to have Murraysville right here, 6 o'clock. Don't miss out on getting together to grow as the body of Christ. Saturday, yesterday morning, it's not on a slide, but we got to deliver food boxes. 55 families got to receive food from 16 volunteers. We can give God a hand. Every single month, there's a team of people that take food boxes out to houses. I had the privilege of getting to take my son yesterday, and he's like, can I pray for the next house? And I was like, yeah, we can pray. You can pray. He's 11. I'm like, this is awesome, right? I didn't have to pray. My son wanted to pray. And, you know, the things that we have, the outreach, there's Pittsburgh mission trip coming up in June, 16th to 18th. That's less than 5 weeks away. Less than 5 weeks, we're going to be doing more food boxes. We're going to be doing more activities, talking with local businesses and crisis pregnancy centers, how we can be a part of the community, taking Jesus out onto the streets. I want you to come because I know you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to get out of your comfort level. And God's going to stretch you to grow you, right? You don't build muscle by not doing anything. You got to stretch it. You got to tear it down to build it up, right? And I want you to grow. That's why we have the Pittsburgh mission trip. We do this and offer all these events, all these things, not just to stay busy. There's so much stuff going on. We don't need to be more busy, but there are opportunities for you to grow and to get connected to the body of Christ in a greater way. You know, this idea that seems to be running rampant everywhere I'm seeing online and churches is what can I get out of it, right? Come in the church. What can I get out of the message? What can I get out of worship? What can I get out of a connection group? Or what do I get out of serving? And so much of that focus is so much on me as what can I get? Rather than saying, what can other people get with you being there? Right? Like when you don't show up for groups, somebody else is missing out. When you don't show up for church, the whole is missing out. Because you are a vital part of the body. You may say, well, I don't have a gifting. I'm not supposed to speak up front. Or I'm just a pinky finger. You realize the pinky finger is 50% of your grip strength. 50% of your grip strength is in your pinky finger. You may think, I'm not that important. I want to keep every part of my body. Anybody willing to give up your pinky finger? Nobody at all. Just for those listening online, nobody raised their hand. But none of us would want to lose any part of our body, right? Even the parts that we really don't need, I still don't want to lose them. I'm like, I just want to keep all my parts of my body. In the same way in the church, we want all the body working and functioning together. Every one of you has a specific calling, a specific place, specific gifting that God has given you and placed you to be working in the body of Christ. And when the whole body functions together, so much more great things can happen. So much more his kingdom can be built, his church can grow in a greater way when we all come together. He says, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. To be filled up is to give of ourselves. Right, so many things in the kingdom are so different than the world. To gain your life, you must lose it. The greatest of these must be the least, the servants of those. If you really want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you must become the least of these here on earth. And when we give of ourselves, we really get filled up. I love how the gospel and the kingdom is so different than the rest of the world. It's so easy to identify it, right? As we pour ourselves out, and I'm inviting you to get connected to the body. There's three things here that can maybe prevent us from experiencing all the blessings and preventing us from activating our divine privileges. And three of the things are, maybe you're not born again. And this is something that's so important. Maybe you don't experience the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have it, you know, one indication is when you're reading the word, maybe it just doesn't speak to you. Maybe there's nothing you can feel you can get out of the word. Maybe when you pray, you just don't feel like God is speaking to you. You've never heard God, not necessarily an audible voice, but speaking to your soul or speaking to your spirit. If you've never experienced any of these divine privileges, this grace, this peace, this joy, the authority, and if you've never experienced that, even if you've been in church for your whole life, I'd say to ask the question, am I really born again? Am I really filled with the Holy Spirit of God? And it's okay to be at that place, to be honest and say, you know what, I haven't really experienced these blessings, but I want to make sure that I experience and invite and ask God to give me his Holy Spirit so that I can be one that's connected as well. The second one is maybe you're disconnected from the body. Maybe you're coming to church and we welcome everyone to come, test the waters, check things out, learn more. But at some point, it's like, when are you going to start giving and serving and doing and really being a functioning member of the body of Christ? That's something that, you know, if there's no investment, there's no commitment, what really are you contributing to the body of Christ? And I bet a lot of times the people who are disconnected from the body, especially when people isolate, they're missing out on all these divine privileges. They're missing out on all the blessings that come from God, because his mission and vision of Jesus is the mission and vision of the local church. It's where he's chosen and where he's going to go. It's plan A for the world. He's coming back for his church. If you're not here, is he going to be able to find you? I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. Are you connected to the body? Because he wants to come back for his church, for everyone together. The third thing is the eyes of your heart are dim. As I mentioned, that just the challenges of life can callous us to being more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Just stuff being pushed on us and weighing us down. Work, bosses, just chaos, politics, war. All that stuff can really start to dim the fire in our hearts. The eyes of our heart are growing dim. Maybe our faith gets weak, makes it difficult to believe. But if you're here today and you say, I am born again, I know that I have a hope. I know that I have an eternal hope in heaven. I know that I'm connected to the body, I'm serving, I'm giving, I'm a member of a church, and I know that I'm connected. Maybe just the eyes of your heart have grown dim. We can always come to God and say, God, would you give me a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit? So we say here, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, more of him, going to him as a good father and saying, God, would you give me more of you? The worship team's gonna lead us into a song, and I invite you this time to stand to your feet. And the teams of people that I've asked to come forward to pray, if you can make your way up to the sides of the stage. Before we move into that time of worship and prayer, I have to ask, and I wanna read to you verse 21, Ephesians 1, verse 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, speaking about Jesus. No matter what thing is in your life right now that's maybe a barrier, maybe there's a separation between you and God right now, whatever that thing is, Jesus' name is greater than every other name. Everything, every circumstance, everything, that whatever it is that's come between you and God, maybe it's a sin, maybe it's a habit, maybe it's an addiction, whatever that thing is that's separating you from God right now, I pray Jesus' name over that right now, that it would be broken in Jesus' name, and that you can now come boldly to the throne of God. If you're here today and you say, I don't know if I can really come to God. I don't know how I can come to God. You don't understand the mess I've been in, the things I've done, the things I've said. Let me tell you, the resurrection power of Jesus is far greater and more immeasurable than anything you've ever done. Your sin can be wiped away clean. You can be truly forgiven once and for all because of what Jesus has done. You don't have to be a good person to earn it. You can't earn it. But he wants to change your heart right now so that you can truly be a good person moving forward. To allow Jesus to be the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future. If you're here today and you say, I don't know if I'm born again or not. I don't think I have the Holy Spirit in me. I invite you to make now the decision today to say, I want to begin a relationship with God. Maybe you need to recommit or rededicate your life to God. It's real simple. You just got to ask him. I'm just inviting you right now. If that's you, you say, I want to be born again and get once again. I need the Holy Spirit just to lift up your hands. I want to pray for you specifically. You say, I need to be born again. Anybody right now, lift up your hands. Father God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Thank you, anyone else? Father God, I thank you, God, that we can be born again. God, that death isn't the final word, but God, you have the final word. God, that you've overcome sin and death and the grave. And God, I thank you. God, I pray for anybody here right now that needs to say, I need to be born again. I need to give my life and trust over to you. God, that you'd forgive my sin and help me walk in victory and freedom moving forward. God, I pray that every single person here would know the hope of our calling. God, that we would know that we have your glorious inheritance. And God, that we would walk in that immeasurable power that you direct towards those of us who believe. God, I pray for anybody else who may be holding back something from you. God, I pray they give it over to you. They'd surrender it to you right here and right now. God, not waiting another day to walk in that immeasurable power. And Father, I pray for every single person here, whether it's they need to be born again, they need to get connected to the body of Christ, or God, they just need the eyes of their heart to be enlightened once again. Father, I pray fresh fire upon each and every person. I just invite you, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, just lift up your hands. I'm going to pray for you, then we're going to move into our teams of prayer. Father God, I pray right now for each and every person with their hands up as a sign reaching to you, Father. We are your children asking you to give us more of your Holy Spirit. Father, would you breathe fresh wind on each and every person right now? God, that you deposit your Holy Spirit in a greater measure into each and every one of us so that we can walk in that immeasurable power, so that we would know the hope of our calling, that we get to be your glorious inheritance. God, it's in your precious Son's name we pray that you would receive all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, church, let's worship. Please make your way up to be prayed for.